Hey everyone, just want to give my thanks and appreciation to all of you who hit play and listened to the previous episode of the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast. It was a very special feature episode where I interviewed Caleb Young of Far Ride magazine, and he did the Far Ride Transcan ride. If you're looking for visuals, do check out the 3T bike post. It has some great photos. There's going to even be better photos coming out on the Far Ride magazine publication coming out next in June. I'm just going to say June. More details to come. But again, I just wanted to take this moment to say thank you to each and every one of you who did hit play, listened, commented, left a review, all that good stuff. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can't say enough. My humble appreciations coming from the Bike Shop Boyfriend, myself, Dustin. Awesome. Okay, I'm just choking up here. So, thank you. Bye. Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 33, aka the 33 of Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast. I'm your host, Dustin. And on this episode, I am going to be doing a bit of house cleaning. I'm going to be catching up on some things that I should have maybe talked about a week or two ago. That being said, let's get on with the show. Here we go. All right. Thank you. Welcome back. It's a proper episode of Bike Shop Boyfriend Podcast. There's no feature. There's no special raw audio to any of this particular episode. So if you're looking for that, I'm sorry to disappoint, but I will have more of that kind of goodies coming your way very soon. So I've got, usually how I organize the podcast itself is I have a notebook and I write down ideas for the segments themselves. I have tried to just freeball and pull ideas out of a hat from all the thoughts and goings on that I do have for this podcast, and having listened to the results thereafter, yes, it feels organic. It feels very raw. However, it feels very scattered, very much like my thoughts. So I find writing down my thoughts onto a page starts to solidify and organize it, and I feel it's a better user slash listening experience for you guys. So if you guys want me to actually freeform, free jazz these episodes, let me know in the comments. But until then, I'm going to keep organizing my thoughts this way, and I feel it just makes a better product in the end. So without further ado, I've got a bit of a checklist here of house cleaning that I've been wanting to talk about for two feature slash episodes now. And here we go. One, I'm back on the bike. Having gone to Quebec City and come back, it took a little while to sort of get back into the swing of things, mostly due to the busyness that my work, both jobs, I still work in an office and I still work at the bike shop, hence the reason for this podcast. Things are beginning to escalate in the shop in terms of how much foot traffic we are getting in, how busy we all are, and the past 2 weeks has seen a noticeable increase in how busy my shifts are and how packed they are. That being said, I've sort of let drop my routine of being on the bike and being back on it. It hasn't been all wine and roses. And I'm kind of wondering, is it just me or is this actually harder? And looking at the data after the fact, it is in fact harder. Things have escalated in terms of my programming. For those that may not know, I am currently following Trainer Road's structured program. I do Zwift from time to time under the bike shop's account, so we can, you know, unlock certain features, and it just makes it easier for when folks do try out Zwift. They get to see some of the cooler features therein. That's a huge tangent. Anyways, back to me. My training is going on very fine. It's very weighted in terms of consistency towards the end of the week, so I'm often putting together a bit of a block of structured training. That being said, I am supposed to be doing the hour and a half workout that the program is telling me to do, and I haven't done it yet, mostly for the fact that I'm going to be doing it this evening after I do some IT slash setting up of fun stuff for my pops. He got himself a Google Home Mini. I whisper that because my Google Homes are actually listening to me. He got one, and I'm going to be setting it up. He is legally blind, so I'm hoping that this is going to make it a lot less of a friction-type user experience for him. He asks a lot of why questions that my mom does not know, and myself not being around, I'm really good at useless, aka stupid trivia, the kind of questions you would get on Jeopardy almost. When it comes to who is in this particular movie, we are hoping that the Google Home is actually going to be the solution to this problem for him. Wow, that really got off on a tangent there. Anyways, that being said, got a lot going on today. It is Sunday. It is also the day of sort of the end of the spring classics in terms of Liège, Bastogne-Liège. It is a massive race. It's the grand old lady, as they call it. And it sort of puts an end to my routine for the spring of watching cyclocross races on the weekend and then watching road races also on the weekend. Sort of sleeping in and enjoying like watching TV in bed kind of thing, and enjoying coffee. So without further ado, that's it. That's it for my spring classics. It's going to start getting up early and getting on the bike and getting outside a little bit more often. So I don't expect it to be easier. I just expect it to be myself to be going harder, in fact. So there you have it. So the fact also, too, that the workouts themselves are harder, I do find myself heavily challenged cardio-wise and even focus slash mentally. I'm going to be writing a blog post about it on the Fast Feet of D. Again, that is fastfeetofd.com. That is actually the blog home site of the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast. I'm going to be delving into a little bit more as to failing while doing these structured bike training workouts. And the fact that it's gotten harder makes it kind of almost, I don't know, you can find that as a mental barrier or not, but I find it actually as a motivation to try and keep going. I don't need more recovery. I find myself it's just more of a mental fatigue. Being indoors for how long I've been doing these indoor workouts, it's beginning to get a little bit tedious. And the fact that it's nice outside now, we're forecasting to get a daytime high of 19 degrees Celsius. And bear with me. Hey, Google, what is 19 degrees Celsius in Fahrenheit?
19 degrees Celsius equals 66.2 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, there you go. It's about 66 Fahrenheit for you Imperial followers there. It's kind of nice weather to be beginning to ride out. However, one thing to be said is that it's extremely dusty in the city that I live in. So that being said, you're kind of ingesting a lot of salt and such into your lungs and all that. But it's almost an excuse to not go outside right now. Next week, I will be going outside. I will be trying to put in a full weekend on the bike outside, mostly to try out a new little bit of gadgetry that I got. I will be using the Wahoo Element Bolt for my riding this upcoming season, and I'm actually really excited to try it out. I'm coming from a Garmin. I'm not going to be disparaging Garmin whatsoever. I find they have great products. The response time is amazing. There's a little bit of too many menus, I would call it, to try and set one up. However, the pairing of it, how it responds, how it captures that data, how you can use that data. I can't say enough good things about the product. The people that are saying that their batteries are dying, this and that, I don't know if they're just being negligent and not charging up their Garmins before going out on a 3-hour ride. That's user error. That's kind of jackassery, to be honest. So with that being said, I'm actually very excited about this new Wahoo coming out. So expect a review. So having mentioned a dedicated cycling computer, a lot of the riders that we get coming into the bike shop are still using their mobile phones on bikes. And so there's a fair amount of cell phones actually being strapped to a stem or an out front type computer mount. I'm not opposed to this, but I will say this, that in a potential crash situation or a bumpy road or a technical trail situation, you can possibly lose your phone. Now, I don't know how much your phone costs, but on average between $300 to maybe, I think an iPhone 10 is still about $1,000 Canadian. That's an expensive computer to one, drop, two, lose, three, get damaged. So that's on you if you want to risk your phone and this and that. Secondly, another good point to say, sort of maybe point out, is if you are like myself and you like to ride one-handed at times and take photos, candid photos of your fellow ride mates or even just the spectacular scenery that you're witnessing, having the phone mounted to your handlebar, sometimes that mount is a little too sticky. And by sticky, I don't mean it actually adhering, I just mean it catching on stuff. And it sort of becomes a bit of a nuisance to try and like unlock the phone mount from the stem/mounting surface, try and take that photo, try and get your hands onto it. Meanwhile, you're supposed to be looking at vehicles, right? So that being said, there's something to be said about a dedicated bike computer. And for the most part, they do start at around less than $100 for something very minimal that is even wireless. And if you are wanting something with GPS and getting fancy pants, they are around $250 for starting ones on the giant head unit that I got to try last year. That was a sub $200 model. And Garmin's actually coming out with a very price pointed slash featured minimal $150 head unit that's coming out that I think is going to be pretty much a blockbuster type product. And then even my Wahoo retail price on that is around $400. And if it were to crash, I'm okay with $400 crashing rather than $700 to $1,000 for the phone that I use crashing and me having to replace that value. So, you know, you're the consumer, you get to make your own decisions. But myself, I advocate for a full dedicated cycling computer. One for the form factor, two for if it crashes, it's not the end of the world, and three, should I crash, I still potentially have my phone to actually rescue me from that situation, whereas my computer, yes, if it were to crash, sometimes it can alert. Some of them have this crash feature, and my man, the Essential, knows all about this, where if you were to crash, you have to sort of disable it before it starts sending out a emergency text to your loved ones to say that, hey, this person has crashed. So with that being said, I'll let you make your own informed decisions, but I'm just letting you know there's a pros and cons for using your bike, using your mobile device on your bike, as opposed to a dedicated cycling computer that's going to give you all that data nonetheless. So that's my 2 cents. I'll let you give me your 2 cents. Cool. Let me know in the comments below. So this is just a random note that I have written down here. So the road cycling, should be pointing that out. The classic season has finally sort of unofficially come to an end. There is a fall classic that takes place. That's a one-day race in Lombardy. And that's the fifth of the five monuments. But one of the races, actually, I noticed it's Trobro-Lyon. It's a French race. It takes place on some gravel roads, but the winner actually receives a live piglet as their prize. One, it feels slightly wrong that they're giving a live animal to the winner. If it were up to me, that's beyond incomprehensible, to be honest. It's sort of like gifting someone a puppy on Christmas. It's up there with surprising someone with a pet. I don't know if the person is actually keeping the pet, and kudos to the person to winning, by the way, but I really feel the UCI needs to sort of crack down on organizers sort of getting into this somewhat tricky spot. Myself, I am not a vegan or a vegetarian by trade or by practice. I do enjoy eating animals, but I'm just saying it's a little bit, I don't know, it feels gauche, if you know what I mean. A little bit wrong to be giving away a live animal as a prize. It's kind of up there with podium girls and people on display to sort of showcase the race. I don't feel pig, or a piglet for that matter, is appropriate prize whatsoever to be giving to a winner. Also, my last point, and this is me wearing my crown of UCI Emperor of All Things Cycling, by the way. I would have more fanfare in the background when I would announce that. But is there should be no time cuts for the one-day races. It's either a finish or you did not finish type situation. I really feel those that lined up for this race, who give it their all, there is no other day to do this until next year. I say you let them finish. There was a few instances at the Paris-Roubaix from 2 weeks ago where one guy finished an hour outside of the time cut. The fact that there is a time cut is kind of abhorrent. All these guys are going and they're trying to just survive the experience. It's one of those stories that you kind of want them to finish so that way they can hand it down to riders who are coming up that they might come across in terms of experience. And also too, family lore and history is kind of built on these kind of experiences. Personally, I would also like to see, if there's a men's one-day race, I would like to see a women's one-day race to accompany it. It's a great promotional tool for getting women into cycling. I myself am a huge proponent of, I want to see women race more, and I want to see it televised. Those are my big two things. And of course, third would be equal prize money to doing the same race, or make it proportional. If they're only doing, say it's 300 kilometers of racing and the women are only doing 250, if you make the prize money proportional based on the kilometers that they are covering, fine, that's whatever on its own thing, but at least the same kilometer value would be going to the men as well as the women. And I would even advocate, I'd like to see women do full distances of what the men are doing, not out of a pro-feminist or a pro-equalization. I just feel if I had a daughter, I would love to see her. And I do have many nieces, by the way. Lots and lots of nieces, I just realized. I would like to see her or they actually compete in the same field as the men and male riders would. Because I think she would be good and actually deserve it. So yeah, I just enjoy watching people race, and sometimes the women's races are actually way more entertaining than the men's have been this past spring, and I think a lot of my fellow viewers would also agree on that point. Yeah, so that's me wearing my crown of UCI Emperor of All Things Cycling. So wow, that really took an interesting turn. Oh, last minute, Campagnolo has actually released a 12-speed group set, and that's actually very interesting because it's incorporating a thinner chain design. So I'm kind of leery about that, to be honest. Hopefully it creates less friction, but I'm actually more intrigued by the fact that it could be a weaker system. There's less material being involved because they do make that chain a little bit thinner. And then also it's going to be interesting for the hub spacing because it's actually using existing 11-speed hub bodies. On the technical side of things, that's great because it's allowing folks that already have an 11-speed system to still use their existing stable or quiver of wheels, as we also call it. But going forward, it's going to be interesting how that 11-speed now going into a 12-speed system is going to be affecting geometries of bikes. There's something of a rumor that Boost, which is a mountain bike standard, spacing is going to be coming to road bikes soon enough. Myself, I'm kind of against that because then we're sort of getting into a too much mountain bike in road cycling. However, I'm a huge fan of stiffer hubs, and I'm also a fan of simplified drivetrains, especially for new users getting into it. But that being said, I do like the fact that a rim brake system is very user-friendly, actually, if you are shown how to use it. But that being said, I do prefer seeing folks get equipment that is safe, easy to use, and also fun to use. And I feel that with a one-by system or even a 12-speed system, it's really going to allow folks that are using a one-by drivetrain to have 12 options rather than just 11, maybe find a proper cadence so that they can actually work on leg speed, and also effort, I guess. And yeah, it'll be interesting how that all shakes out. I know that Shimano is coming out with one, and I know SRAM is also coming out with one. So the big three are all coming out with 12 speed systems. My tentative predictive date for when you'll start seeing a Shimano 12 speed is going to be, again, 2020, my guess, as well as the fully wireless system that Shimano has actually filed the patent for. It'll be interesting when they come up with that. SRAM, I think you'll actually see it sort of just pop out of nowhere. There might be some prototype views of it, and you might see their, as I mentioned before, their cyclocross riders that they sponsor. I think that they will be the first ones to actually try the prototype version of a 12-speed system, as well as the Aqua Blue team. They're also going to be probably the prototype unit or team that's going to be using these 1x12 systems. Okay, that's me being a super bike nerd. Enjoy. And on to the next segment. So earlier this week, three sort of situations came about that they're all going to kind of be answered by myself in the same way. But first, these are the three instances where this all sort of came about. I had a customer buying accessories online, as well as another customer wanting to buy a bike from a business-to-consumer type model. So they're going to be buying it directly from the bike manufacturer, and third, a customer buying foodstuffs online. I'm not going to be calling out anyone here because it's not privacy, but it's just practices that the customer nowadays is doing when they're in a brick and mortar. And also, full disclosure, thank you to those that, you know, totally said that they were going to do it, so there's no hard feelings, really. And on that note, I'm actually okay with it. That's my answer to all three of those situations. One, the customer is being satisfied by their own consumer needs. So if it is less friction for you to order something online, I highly recommend you do it. The fact that my brick and mortar shop that does have an online presence doesn't have the means to maybe, say, acquire you know, like the foodstuffs, or get the maybe best price from the bike manufacturer to yourself and delivered right to your door, that's great. And also, sometimes buying online for your accessories is a little bit less expensive. We're all wanting to save money. I do it too. That being said, I have to give kudos to actually all three. One, to the lady who was buying her accessories online. She's not terribly handy, and she said flat out that she's going to be coming to the shop, and she says that she's expecting to pay full price for the labor that it costs to install those accessories. Fair play. We didn't have it. She knows where to get it. She's going to pay for it, and she's okay with us installing it, and we'll do a great job of it too, by the way. Secondly, to the customer that was buying a bike, who's going to be buying a bike from the bike brand itself, to that consumer, he asked me about sizing, and I sized them up on an existing bike, and it's hopefully going to transfer those measurements. At least I gave him a ballpark what to look for, and also I gave him the advice to not buy an integrated handlebar and stem setup. It's a unified piece. Just for his own bike fit, I don't recommend folks do that right off the gun unless they have been bike fitted. And because my friend slash customer is going this route, I did recommend that he get the two-piece where it is a handlebar separate from the stem, so that way we can actually dial that in. Once we got that dialed in, feel free to knock yourself out, order that piece online, get it in, we'll install it, we'll wrap your bar tape, all that good stuff. And I think he's going to take my advice. On a side note, he did win his category for the bike race on Saturday, so congratulations. You know who you are. I'm not calling you out, but you're awesome. Okay, anyways, and my third customer for buying foodstuffs online. Some of the distribution that we get is a little bit tantamount to being snail pace. As a brick and mortar bike shop, that it only has one person doing the ordering, and not all the distributors are available to order that product from. Sometimes it's our side where we get a little bit slow in trying to speed up to order that product and get it in, and it still takes about a business week, or it's on the distributor side where they are just a little bit on the slow side getting product to us to sell to the customer. Sometimes the customer circumnavigates all of that and buys it directly from the manufacturer of the snack good. Hopefully that all made sense. Kudos to them. I totally want folks to have a frictionless experience, and I'm totally okay with that. And I'm also okay with them if they don't like the product. That's their user knowledge. But I am going by their user experience, because it actually helps us as a brick and mortar do better in the future. And I always want to do right by the customer, and I also want to do right by the shop that I work for. And sometimes those aren't always the same thing. So that being said, yeah, I'm okay with it. What do you think? Let me know your thoughts. Do you find that your brick and mortar bike shop is doing their best to try and get you that product, or is there stuff that they can work on, and do you shop online? That's a great question to ask you. Let me know in the comments below. So if you're listening to, if you've been a regular listener of the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast, you know that that little drum beat right before this segment and me talking is somewhat predictive of, I'm beginning to tailor the end of the episode as we speak. Yeah, I just want to say thank you to everyone that has left me a comment, told me in person that they are a listener of the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast and that they are enjoying the content that I'm putting out. And also, if you have any content that you would want me to cover on this particular podcast, do let me know. You can reach me at DustinWHT, both on Twitter and Instagram. I reply to all my direct messages as well as comments. Love hearing from you. Also, Calum, who was my guest on the previous feature, he's been getting a lot of love for the podcast. So again, give him a shout out. Give him a follow. That's Calumino Young at both Instagram and Facebook, and I think his YouTube channel is coming up live very shortly, so do stay tuned for that. I am actually trying to somewhat negotiate some time off so I can go to the East Coast and go visit him. I'll let you know how that all works out for me too, by the way. And then also coming up this week, I'm going to be talking about Trek's new gravel bike, as well as collaborations within brands. It's something I've been very interested about hearing about and possibly even doing. And third is the band, who you'll start hearing more and more about because I'm going to be recording rides as I ride. The band actually went riding without me. The reason being why they went without me is because my nephew, who is 4 and awesome and rad and was a little bit grouchy, I hooked him up with a new helmet so he can start riding his bike. I kind of took a little bit of priority and sort of favored hanging out with my nephew and helping my sister select a helmet for her son. And I've posted a few photos online. If you know anything about me, I've been waiting for this moment for about 4 years because my older nieces that do ride a bike, they're not terribly into riding a bike, by the way. So my nephew, who's just been so gung-ho about riding his bike, now has a helmet. He's going to be ripping it up. I'm actually going to probably be covering it on my Instagram. I'm going to try and get him into cyclocross this year and hopefully get him two-wheel ready for the fall. So we'll see how that goes. If not, I got 1 year to wait and he's going to be rocking it out. So with that being said, thank you everyone for listening to the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast. I'm your host, Dustin. Please leave me a rating on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, all the different distribution channels. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. I hope you have a great weekend and enjoy the week to come. Cheers.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.